You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets, because it's your pet. Health matters. Please welcome your Pet Doctor host, veterinary media consultant and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
The last time your pet was ill, your veterinarian likely recommended running a battery of laboratory tests. But what was he or she looking for? Why do they want to repeat the test? And why isn't there a test for cancer? And why do they want to run tests when your pet seems totally healthy? My guest today is Sandra Willis. She is a board-certified veterinary internal medicine specialist, especially with regard to small animals, companion animals. She is going to let us in on the secrets of what a doctor can learn from drops and drips of our pet's bodily fluids. We'll be right back after this short message.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Greetings, human. What planet am I on?
Welcome to Pet Planet. Here's a copy of Pet Planet magazine, Florida's most informative and fun pet resource magazine. It features heartwarming stories and informative articles from local and national pet experts.
Excellent.
Pet Planet magazine offers Operation Planet Rescue, helping rescued pets find new homes. And it's available at 500 locations in South and Central Florida and 24/7 on the internet at PetPlanetMagazine.com. If you're out and about with your pet, you may be featured in Paparazzi, candid pictures of you and your pet. For up-to-date pet-friendly events, activities, and pet-related services and products, Pet Planet Magazine is your final destination.
I shall take this magazine home with me.
Back to your home planet?
No, to my condo in Boca.
Pet Planet Magazine. Check them out at www.petplanetmagazine.com or 352-394-8578. It's out of this world.
Hey, all you dog stylists, are you on the cutting edge of canine design and shaggy chic? Groomer Has It on Animal Planet is now casting for Season 2. Groomer Has It is looking for competitive dog stylists with amazing personalities to compete to become Animal Planet's top groomer. $50,000 grand prize for the winner, plus weekly compensation for all contestants during filming. If you have what it takes to be the top groomer, then audition for Groomer Has It today. For more information, contact Catherine at 310-727-3337 extension 71272 or email groomerhasit@gmail.com.
Want to know what cats like to eat for breakfast? Mice Krispies, of course. Learn everything there is to know about cats on Catitude with your host, Tom Doc. Each week, we'll spotlight a cool cat breed, give up-to-date advice on cat health, and check out spiffy new cat products. So curl up on the couch every week for a perfectly enjoyable time on Catitude. Every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Dr. Willis, thank you so much for being with us, because I know running lab tests sometimes, when it comes back being nothing's wrong, people are kind of aghast as if, why'd you spend my money when nothing was wrong? So could you maybe first talk a little bit about why veterinarians want to run blood work on what apparently is an absolutely healthy animal?
Very good question, Dr. Cruz. I'm delighted to answer that. You know, we go to our doctor, especially as we get older, and we have blood work drawn that tests for anemia, signs of infection, organ functions, liver, kidney, et cetera, even when we're feeling good, just to make sure there isn't something hidden going on. And that's the same thing with our small animals, our dogs and cats, is sometimes they look great, but there may be something inside that's not going so well. And what we're trying to do, as you know, as both of us being small animal veterinarians, is really focusing on wellness and preventing disease and picking it up early. And wellness programs, particularly middle-aged to older animals, particularly after 10 years of age, there's a sliding scale there, we see more disease in older animals, and sometimes they fake it. And we can't tell. They look perfectly normal to us, even if we're very astute owners. But those blood tests will help open up the critter, figuratively speaking, and look inside that little black box and see if there's any problems going on.
You're exactly right. You know, they look just fine from the outside.
And people may wonder, well, what kind of tests do we do? Because tests just seem kind of like a black book. And per your previous question, we want things to be normal. I'd rather pay for normal tests than abnormal ones, personally. And when I worked at a diagnostic laboratory and run blood work on my healthy animals, I always tell the laboratory technicians, you make sure it's all normal, because I want to make sure my pet, my kitties are healthy. So just like in man, we'll do a complete blood count, which is looks at white cells, signs of infection. We'll look at the packed cell volume or the amount of red cells in the blood, looking for anemias. We can also look for blood type cancers on that. And platelets, which are a type of little cell involved with bleeding. So that's the complete blood count, goes in a little purple tube. And then we'll draw some serum, and that goes in a red tube. And any of your listeners that have had blood drawn, they'll know what this looks like. And there we test all kinds of things. Kidney, liver, electrolytes like sodium and potassium. We look at total body proteins, all kinds of different things. There can be like 24 different elements on that panel. And certain times things will be blatantly abnormal, and sometimes they'll be subtle. And that's why we may want to recheck the panel in a month to see if there's any changes going on with that.
You had mentioned when you're looking at the CBC, complete blood cell count, that sometimes there's a type of blood cancer. Could you kind of elaborate on that? Because I know people are always asking, wow, doc, you know, the dog has a lump on its side. The kitty has something going on. Can't you just do a blood test for cancer? I said, wow, if there was a blood test for breast cancer, I'd be in there every month having my blood done. So what type of cancer are you talking about?
Well, that's a good question as well, and I wish it were so simple in man as well as our critters. And on a complete blood count, we look at cells, white cells, different types of white cells and red cells that circulate in the blood. If this is a type of cell that only stays in the liver or the kidney or spleen or under the skin, we're not going to see that in that complete blood count. So we're only looking at cells that circulate. Now, if there's a cancer of the blood or of the bone marrow, sometimes we'll see those abnormal cells on that CBC, and that'll be kind of a leukemia. Leukemia is there's several different ones, a cancer of the bone marrow, where the bone marrow, where our cells are produced, sends out weird-looking ones. And if we're lucky and the pet unlucky, but sometimes if we're looking for disease, if we can find it quickly, we can treat it sooner. Sometimes we'll see that in the complete blood count. If there's a tumor of the liver, boy, or under the skin, only with an aspirate where we put a little needle into the mass, and many of your listeners may have seen that in their dog or your kitty, and we suck out some of those cells, which only stay in that offending organ, only then can we determine if there's cancer. But there really isn't right now an overall test that just is a marker for different cancers. Now, there may be some more. We may develop some of those down the road, but I don't think there's any time going to be one type of just one easy test for cancer.
You had mentioned a leukemia of the blood. Now, some of our cat owners may be listening going, wait a minute, I've heard of feline leukemia. Is that the same thing?
It's a little bit different, actually. And one of the tests that we do run routinely in our kitty cats, besides the CBC and the serum biochemical profile, is we'll test for the infectious viral diseases. These are viruses, feline leukemia virus, or FELV, and feline immunodeficiency virus, or FIV. So we're actually testing for the presence of the virus or antibodies to the virus with those two tests. Feline leukemia virus can cause leukemias in cats. In fact, it's one of the more common reasons we see leukemias in cats. But FELV is a virus, and leukemia is actually a cancer of a bone marrow. It does get a little confusing, and I know when you and I talk to clients, sometimes they describe what's going on with their pet, and we know they actually mean something else, but they can tell us well enough that we understand what's going on. So we'll test for those viruses in cats, and similarly, totally different disease, sometimes depending on the area, we'll test when we do blood work on doggies for something called heartworm disease, which you guys see a lot in California. I don't see so much where I'm located in Seattle, but in addition to the common blood tests, we also may run some specific tests depending on where your pet lives, looking for other types of diseases, so we can treat it early, vaccinate against it, you know, try to keep the pet healthy.
And that's so important. You know, we're really happy when we don't see problems. And I think if people realize that veterinarians, as you mentioned, really are into preventative medicine, that wellness, that's why we recommend get that pet in twice a year for at least for a good wellness exam. Since one of our years is about 7 pet years, so much can change in just a short amount of time.
You know, it's right that you mentioned that. I'm sitting in my living room. It's about feeding time, and the cats are bouncing off the walls here. I've had cats all my life, and after 10 years of age, I've been lucky with my cats being healthy, knock on wood. But after 10 years of age, I like to bring them in and do blood work at least twice a year is great. I usually stick to once a year, but twice a year is optimal, especially if they're showing slowing down at all. And because I can look at them, and they look fine to me, but what I'm looking for in cats is either, you know, more overt changes, particularly we worry about diabetes, kidney disease, thyroid problems, and cats just fake it. As I tell veterinarians in my jobs, cats are on the internet figuratively. They're way ahead of us. They're figuring out diseases they have, and we're just catching up with them. So, but we want to try to make sure that everything is healthy and happy. And the other thing that annual or biannual visit to the veterinarian does is that it allows veterans such as you, Dr. Cruz, to get your little hands on the critter and do a good physical exam. And in veterinary medicine, we go tip of the nose to tip of the tail, and we can listen to the heart, look for heart murmurs, look for any paleness of the gums, look for any changes or feel any changes in the abdomen, and then the blood tests help confirm our suspicions. And it's important that, you know, it's great if it's normal. Sometimes there'll just be a subtle change on the blood work. Maybe there's a mild anemia. What does it mean? Shoot, you know, the kitty cat or doggy looks great. But why don't we get the pet back in a month, reweigh them, redo a physical exam to make sure there's any no changes or detect some early ones, and then let's draw the blood work. Is it all normal? Great. Okay, it wasn't a big deal. But sometimes there'll be a subtle change. Oh, my gosh, now that the anemia is 5 points worse. Okay, now, even though the pet looks great, this is a persistent finding, and we need to do additional tests, x-rays, maybe an ultrasound. And, you know, a lot of owners will say, enough tests already, just treat. Well, sometimes we don't know what to treat for. The tests help identify the problem, so our treatment can be more specific and hopefully in the long run less costly as opposed to just guessing. Sometimes we just have to play the best guess, but particularly if an animal gets really sick, we need to start doing some of those tests. I will also tell you that in addition, a lot of you clients that have doggies are real helpful in bringing in urine because it's important to compare the blood work, particularly when we look at kidney disease, with the urine, which is what the kidneys make, to see if the urine's concentrated or not. And it's a little easier sometimes for owners to collect in dogs. I have my techniques in the cats, but a lot of times we have to gather that sample in the hospital. So urinalysis will be an important part of that wellness exam for the healthy pet and particularly for the one that's getting sicker.
Well, Dr. Willis, I'm going to put you on the spot. I actually had a listener who emailed the pet doctor at petliferadio.com and had the question about urine and how do you collect a sample. So can you give us your little tricks, you know, for dogs and for cats? Because that'll be easier for me than having to answer her. You can do it for me.
That's a good question, and I love it when owners ask questions because it makes them the good, informed, responsible pet owner, and so they understand more what we're doing as veterinarian and more able to work with us as part of the veterinary team, their healthcare team for their pet. Urine, like I said, is a very important substance. It gives us a lot of ideas what's going on in the bladder and the kidneys. Now, urinary tract infections are something we see a lot in pets. And it's important a lot of times to get a sterile urine sample directly from the bladder. And we call that a cystocentesis, and it's much like drawing blood. We use a needle for that, and that is the most sterile sample. However, a lot of times we just want to look at the concentration of the urine, and an owner and a doggy collecting a free catch, fresh sample at home in a very clean container and make sure the doggy doesn't step in it before they bring it in.
And we don't need 3 gallons of it.
Right. Just, you know, a little under a cup or half a cup. And a good time to collect that is right when they enter the veterinary office because they mark right outside the door.
Usually.
And kitty cat's a little bit tougher. And what I've done, because I had a diabetic cat and was checking my cat's sugar in the urine, was when they jumped into the litter box, put a little spoon, large spoon, underneath their little rear end and was able to catch, oh, maybe a half a teaspoon or something like that. Sometimes you don't need very much. I have found that's an excellent technique for one or two times until the cat gets a little annoyed that you've got a spoon in their litter box. But for owners, particularly of diabetic kitties or they're just, you know, a kitty with renal failure, that's a nice technique. But again, a lot of times we have to take the urine directly in the veterinary hospital because we don't want to spend the money for a urine culture if the sample is dirty.
They can't give us that midstream catch like you and I or a person would do, yes.
You know, it's funny about that. We can get a pretty clean sample that way. It just doesn't seem to be as clean as I guess they see in human medicine.
I think it's all that fur that gets in the way. Well, you were talking a little bit about senior pets, and I totally agree with you because too often, especially the cats, they seem to be so good at hiding their signs of illness, and those subtle changes can really be significant. So I'll always tell my clients with a young pet, an older pet, I don't care, for them to keep a little health diary and mark changes that they're seeing at home. Maybe the pet's drinking a bit more water. Well, maybe it's just hot and they're drinking more water, or maybe there's some early signs of kidney disease, renal disease, as you mentioned, or a little diabetes. How are they doing in the cat box? So all those things are so necessary, especially with those seniors. But how about the other end, when you have that young pet that's coming in to be spayed or castrated, and the doctor wants to do some preoperative blood work? I think sometimes my clients feel I'm just trying to fleece the bill a little bit and trying to pat it. What's the importance of doing this preoperative blood work on these young kids?
That's a good question. Our anesthetics that we use for all surgeries have gotten much safer, and we use a lot of gas anesthesia, which is inhaled. And so we have a pet that goes under anesthesia very quickly and wakes up very quickly with minimal side effects. So that's a really good deal that we're seeing in veterinary medicine. But sometimes even the younger pets can have some congenital or familial problems. They may be born without kidneys, both of them. They at least have one. Or other problems, they may have some anemias. We see that less often in young animals. But veterinarians occasionally may just want to do a quick panel. It's always generally a smaller amount of blood work than an older pet because you really aren't worried about so many problems like cancer. Don't see that too much in younger animals. But they may want to check a couple of values for kidney and liver, maybe make sure there's no signs of infection on that complete blood count, and do a minimal panel. As you pointed out, veterinarians vary quite a bit in what they recommend and sometimes in what they require. And I talk to pet owners, they're hugely a part of the veterinary team, the healthcare team for their pet. If a pet owner or any of your listeners have any questions about what the veterinarian's recommending, ask them. Particularly in these times where the economy is changing a bit, we're seeing people not able to afford as much, and most of our pet owners want to keep their pets and do the best for them, and shopping around for the cheapest price may not be the best thing to do in veterinary medicine, but certainly talking to your veterinarian saying, well, you know, this looks like what you would recommend, this is what I can afford, whether it's a sick pet or healthy pet, how can I do the best for my pet, taking things one step at a time? And some veterinarians will say, hey, your pet looks good, no weight loss. You know, I think it'd be nice to do blood work, but it's a young animal. I think we're okay for spay and neuter. Or they may say, you know, I saw one a month ago. I didn't think I had any problems, and we really had some complications, and I just can't compromise on this, and we need this blood work. And they should be prepared to talk to the pet owner about the advantages of doing that extra blood work. I'm a huge fan of pet owners being their own pet health detective. And folks, you sometimes see changes in your pet that are so subtle to us when you bring them in. We can't find anything wrong. So as Dr. Cruz mentioned, keeping a logbook of changes in appetite, behavior, subtle weight changes, hair coat, just activities. We call it ain't doing right. That's a veterinary term, ADR. But those are things that tell you as a pet owner something's not right. And we as veterinarians always want to see your pet because it buys you peace of mind. And that may be, again, why we need to see them in another month, because sometimes these pets are showing early disease that we can't even pick up. You just know there's something not right with them.
And I think most veterinarians, you're exactly right. And I've had clients come in, I'm looking at their pet, and it looks fine. I don't see anything wrong. I don't hear anything wrong. You know, I palpate them all over and I go, you know, it looks okay, but they're saying that just ain't doing right. There's something wrong, Doc. And I'll always believe them because they know their pet better than anyone else. And I'll start looking and sometimes drawing general blood panel will find something wrong. And I want to take a short little break and ask you, see if I can put you on the spot right now. Older kitty, losing weight, everything on blood work looks absolutely normal, but calcium was increased. We can talk about that a little bit. So we'll be right back after this short break with Dr. Sandra Willis, a board-certified veterinary internist who's talking about what's going on under your pet skin. We'll be right back.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
If you love your pet, you won't want to miss the Louisville Pet Lovers Expo, September 27th and 28th at the Kentucky Expo Center. Check out the latest in pet products and services from over 100 exhibitors. Meet adoptable pets from local shelters and rescue groups, demonstrations, and a pet fashion show. Plus, you can enter your pet into lots of fun contests with great prizes. It's all at the Louisville Pet Lovers Expo, September 27th and 28th at the Kentucky Expo Center. Go to LouisvillePetExpo.com for more.
School's in session on Pet Life Radio with Teacher's Pet. Learn how to communicate with your pet, train your pet, and see the world from your pet's point of view. You may even learn a few tricks yourself. Teacher's Pet, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Dr. Willis, thank you. You are just giving us some great information. I think people are finally understanding why veterinarians are so enamored of taking blood, urine, and we'll talk about stool samples too. But I had mentioned before the break about this older cat who is actually looking quite good, slim, but looking good. It's been losing some weight little by little, nothing drastic. No vomiting, no diarrhea. One of the first things I was thinking about for this older cat was going to be kidney disease, but the kidneys looked fine. Then for losing weight, because the cat seems fairly happy and active, I was thinking possibly an overactive thyroid, and that came back normal. But the thing that's been consistently increased is calcium. Could you address that, please?
Well, that's an excellent question. It really ties in how blood work can give us a hint of what's going on, but not enough to say for sure. And it definitely puts in my small animal internal medicine background. I love endocrinology or diseases of the endocrine glands. High calcium is something we see in dogs and cats for different reasons, actually. And it's a hint of something that may be causing weight loss, but by itself may not be causing weight loss. Calcium is measured, again, on that chemistry profile. And the things that I think of, a couple of things, is one is there are certain cancers, the big C word, that can elevate calcium in the body. And that is then one of the, well, maybe the number two cause in doggies, and maybe the number three cause in kitty cats. Another cause of high calcium can be an overactive parathyroid gland, big technical word, but these are tiny little glands that sit right next to the thyroid in dogs and cats, and it can secrete an excess of parathyroid hormone and elevate the calcium. Now, those are the two main causes in the doggy, and if the dog looks really bad, we think malignancy, cancer over that hyperparathyroidism, because you generally hyperparathyroidism, the animals look good, but they can lose a little weight. Same thing in the cat, but the cat has chosen on its own to have one cause of hypercalcemia called idiopathic, or we don't know why.
I love that word.
To find out cancer, I love it too. We can't find a cancer, and the parathyroid gland is not hyperactive. So how do we know on dogs and cats, particularly this kitty with the high calcium? What do we do next? Well, oh my gosh, we have another blood test. We draw more blood, and what we're going to do is measure a form of calcium called ionized calcium, and we're going to actually measure that parathyroid hormone or PTH level, compare the two of them, and determine, do those values look like we might have to look for cancer? Or could it be a hyperparathyroid condition, or is it idiopathic? And sometimes the results from idiopathic and cancer look very similar on that blood test. And how do we rule out cancer? Here we go again. That would be x-rays or ultrasound to make sure we don't find any cancer anywhere. With the history of weight loss, I want to make sure we're not dealing with a cancer, and we'd want to run the additional test, because a couple things, if we find out that it is, we need to kind of diagnose that for sure to treat it directly. We don't want to just, you know, kind of guess, because treating cancer with antibiotics, such things, isn't going to help at all. So in that kitty cat, I just want to make sure that we don't have a cancer situation. If we have a parathyroid hormone elevation, and that's a simple surgery, relatively, to remove those little tiny glands. And if it's idiopathic, if we don't find anything else going on, well, you and I both know sometimes that happens in the cat. That's why occasionally veterinarians will say, well, I think we need to recommend exploratory surgery, because in an animal losing weight for which blood tests and ultrasound and et cetera don't show anything, sometimes we just have to look inside and take samples. The gastrointestinal tract, the intestines, are one place that cancer hides really easily, and it's really not easy. As we mentioned before, there's no cancer test that we can do a blood test on. So this shows, possibly the owner that had a question on her cat that was losing weight with hypercalcemia, that it wasn't so easy, but it is a step-by-step process we do to try to figure out what it is. You know, and if we can't, then maybe we'll have to guess. And sometimes we'll use antibiotics. Sometimes we'll use corticosteroids. But it is always best to try to figure out the answer if we can.
It almost seems like you're playing CSI, you know, crime scene investigator, because you're doing one step and seeing what happens there. You're going to the next step. And you're right. It can be very frustrating for the pet owner as well as the veterinarian, because you're trying to get answers as quickly as possible for the sake of the pet and the sake of the pet owner's pocketbook, too.
Yeah, that's a really valuable point. And a lot of times what the clients only hear is we're just doing tests and we didn't find out anything. Well, and it takes a veterinarian and maybe a veterinary nurse or technician to sit down, and like I just diagrammed with the hypercalcium in the kitty cat, well, this is what we think it could be. in the order of which is most likely we're going to do this test and it'll rule out this or rule out, and it is truly a step-by-step fashion. And when I talk to veterinarians as a specialist, I say you can even diagram it on a bulletin board in the office for the client so they can see that it's just not a bunch of tests we're throwing out. And step-by-step, they'll understand that, oh, this one came back, okay, we know what it is. Or, no, it didn't come back, so we need to go this next step. And it's not willy-nilly. You know, we both hear owners that say, well, they just ran a lot of tests and didn't find out anything. Well, I bet they found out a lot of things it wasn't. But sometimes our colleagues aren't so good at telling owners, well, you just spent $300, but we know these 15 different diseases your pet doesn't have. We're so focused on what we don't know that we forget to tell you what we do know. And so that is worth every cent of that, because we both know that we can do so much more in veterinary medicine for a lot less price in human medicine, except that pet insurance isn't uniform out there, and most pet owners are paying right out of their pocket, and they want to make sure that their money is well spent. And by and large, it is. We just aren't as good sometimes as explaining it to the client.
I'm glad you brought that up about pet insurance, because, yes, the pet owner will say, oh, my goodness, this is so much more expensive than it is when I go to my doctor. It's like, and yes, what type of HMO or PPO do you have? And their eyes open up. It's like, oh, that's right. I'm just paying the copay, aren't I? Going, mm-hmm. And did you get that pet insurance that we talked about when it was a puppy or a kitten? No. Well, here's that reason. You hope that you never need it. And living here in Southern California, I'll tell people, well, it's somewhat like having earthquake insurance. You hope you never need it. But when you do need it, it's too late after the fact to get it. So it's a inexpensive investment in your pet. So getting pet insurance is a great idea, and there's quite a few different really good companies out there. And if somebody's interested, they can go to the internet, they can ask their veterinarian for some recommendations as to what type of product they should get for themselves and for their pet.
Yeah, I encourage listeners and pet owners that I bump into to always ask their veterinarian, ask questions. I think more and more we need to be as informed as we can be about our own health and our pet's health, so that we feel that, you know, we're really part of the team. I hear owners complain, well, it's $200 to fix a fractured pelvis in the dog. Well, that's all? Oh, my gosh. Well, you think it should be $25? Or, on the other hand, you know, being quoted $2,000 or $3,000 to fix a broken leg, and when by a veterinarian, and perhaps it would have been, but when the owner actually went to a specialist or got a second opinion, and the x-rays were taken, well, it could have been $2,000, but guess what? You know, we actually don't need to do anything at this point. And so it's important to ask additional questions, sometimes get a second opinion on surgery. Say it's a little bit more expensive for a surgeon to take a look at a dog, or particularly a dog, sometimes a cat, to see if a surgery is required, but sometimes they'll give us the idea that it's not as expensive as we think. And again, getting back a little bit to the economy, is I want to see people not give up their pets. We need them. That bond is hugely important right now, and no, we can't afford $2,000, but we might be able to afford $300 or $400. And the truth is that sometimes when we sit down and get a few more tests, we may determine it's not as bad as we thought, or there's some other options that we can consider to give our pet the best health care that we can afford. And the veterinarian is just pivotal to that discussion.
And there is no veterinarian out there who wants to put a pet to sleep. There are so many times you and I have both had the experience where an animal comes in and you know there is something that can be done. And sometimes it's a matter of money, and sometimes it's a matter of the wrong attitude with a pet owner where, oh, yeah, I don't like this one anymore, I'm going to get another one, or I just never trained it as a puppy and it's making too much noise, so I'll just get rid of this one and get another one. No, they really are a part of the family. And whenever you get a pet, it's always for life. It's for their life.
Yeah, being a responsible pet owner doesn't include, ideally, taking care of them for life. And they're not a throwaway commodity. I mean, sometimes older animals get diseases that we can't manage, and we do the best we can, but it is it's a responsibility. And I'm finding somebody that who's a young son has adopted a dog as part of the household, and it's a great learning experience for a young child to take care of and responsibility for a pet. It teaches them about life and death, and it just is a great way to grow up. And I know I wouldn't, without my cats, having cats brought into my household when I was a very young child, much to the chagrin of my mom, my dad brought the kitty cat home, I wouldn't be a veterinarian today without having that cat come into my life. And I've had them, you know, throughout my years. And it's hard to lose an animal, even when you've done everything for it, but they give us so much love, and there's so many unwanted animals out there that really need good homes as well. And it's I think you and I both work very hard to educate pet owners, pet-owning public out there, that besides buying the toys and treats and great little nibbles and things that keep our pets with big smiles on their faces, that we also want to keep them healthy and happy, and that is bringing them in for annual biannual visits to the veterinarian, doing that blood work and fecal exam. We're always really concentrating on parasites that can be carried in the feces, so doing that each and every time is really important, that fecal exam. And then making sure that they're healthy and treating diseases that comes up early on, we're best able to treat it early on, give them a full life with us. And it's just wonderful. The bond is wonderful, and I just celebrate. That's why I became a veterinarian.
Well, I can hear it in your voice that this is something that you love, and I agree with you. I love being a veterinarian. When I first went to college, I toyed with the idea of becoming an MD, and then I realized, you know, there's males and females, large and small, variations on the theme. That's kind of boring. Being a veterinarian, I can be the pediatrician to the gerontologist. I can take care of the puppy. I can take care of the old cat, the bird, the rabbit. I won't touch a horse because it's been so long. It would be malpractice for me. But it is just a fascinating, marvelous field. And every day that I go to work, I love it. So, Dr. Sandy Willis, I appreciate you so much being on the show today. You've just given, I think, the listeners a great idea of why veterinarians draw that blood, take that urine, and get that poop sample and send it into the lab, and what we're looking for and what we learn.
Well, thank you very much. It was an excellent topic, and I had a lot of fun.
Great. Well, the goal of this show is always to entertain, educate, and to motivate you to be the best pet owner that you can be. If you ever have questions about your own pet, the first person that you should contact is your primary care veterinarian. They will know the pet with you because you've been going there on a routine basis, I hope, as well as possible. If you ever have any other questions, please feel free to contact me at the Pet Doctor at PetLifeRadio.com. So thank you very much for being with us today, and tune in next week when we'll have some more information for you and hopefully entertain you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.